Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Pei Zayin. Begin on the bottom of daf Pei Vav Mabez, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to discuss some of the previous daf, discussing the halacha of Rav and Shmuel. Now, their halacha came in relation to the previous Mishnah's halacha regarding when we described when is the kinyan of the lekech considered complete. So we said it depends whose kli is it. So on that, Rav and Shmuel said, in spite of the fact that we said that if it's the keli of the lekech, which generally, as it's filling up, it's going to be considered his kinyan. But they said, if let's say he says, kur b'shleishim ani meichalach, he says, I'm only selling you an entire kur for 30 ma, for 30 dinarim, then they could back out even if you have already 29, because he's saying, I'm only selling you that one big unit of 30. But, said Rabban Shmuel, if let's say he says, kur b'shleishim sa b'sela ani meichalach, where, yeah, I'll sell you a kur for 30, but additionally, I'll even sell you smaller units, a sa for a sela, then rishon kana, then according to each one, as it goes along, as the Gemara explained, that you're talking about that there are shnasis inside, meaning according to each amount that they sell, that's considered an entire unit, and then the sale is complete. Now, so that halacha, Rav Shmuel, that the Gemara asks from the following braisa, Tashma, learn the braisa as follows. Haseger es apoyel. Someone hires a worker. Moreover, he gives him his payment right now in Nisan time. Las es imoy legoyrin to do work for him by the threshing house, which is only going to be in a later season. Not now, but he's hiring him now. He's already paying him now. And hayoyim bediner, meaning he's paying him that every single day in the threshing season when he's going to work for him, he's going to pay him a dinner. Which essentially, for the 30 days of that the work is for the threshing house, he's paying him now 30 dinar. Now, however, as the Gemara continues in Tav Pei Zayin and Aleph, the Braisa tells us that Ula Goyrin, however, in actuality, at the time of the threshing season, Yafa, his wage is actually worth a sela. Every single day's work then is actually worth a sela, which, in other words, he really could have hired himself out if he would have had the patience to get 4 dinarim, which is what a sela is, every single day. Now, but since he's getting paid early, an early pay, so people want money. So you know what? I'll go down. I usually could charge 4 per day. I'm going to take 1 per day. Because you're giving it to me up front, I can use the money now. So in such a case, says the Braisa, asa lohanis memena, it's forbidden for the employer to benefit from that decrease of the wage of the employee. Now the reason for this is because it looks like in the halachas of ribbis, what it's called of interest is agar notarli. The primary fundamental principle of ribbis is that you're giving someone money, and because of the delay of him paying you back, which is what a loan is of money, then you're getting more money back, which is what interest is. Now the same thing really is happening over here too, where here this worker is giving back, I mean, he's getting money now in Nisan time, he's giving him back, really, he's taking 1 dinar and he's paying him back 4 dinarim of work in the days of the threshing, because of that 1 dinar he got in Nisan. And that's because of the delay that he didn't have to give him back until much later. So therefore, that's an element of ribbis, says the Braisa, that's forbidden to have a na from that work. Now, avol, but says the Braisa, let's say he hires him from today, from Nisan, you're already hired. Bedinur layoim, for a price of still that same price of not 4 dinar, not a sell how much it's worth, but rather a dinar per day. So he's renting him for 100 days, for 100 dinar, and he's starting to pay him right now. Now, but as we said in the ratio, ulagarin, the truth is at the time of the threshing season, the worker could have hired himself out, yafasela. He actually would be worth 4 times that amount. He would have been worth 4 salam, which are 4 dinar, which is a seller per day. Now, however, what the Bryce is saying is that since he's hiring him already from that day, already back in Nisan, so in that situation, it's mutter, then it's permitted for the employer to benefit from this employee. And the reason for that is because all the work that he's doing for those 100 days is like one unit, is like one long 100 days, like one long day, and therefore there is no agar naturally over here. It's not like, oh, because you paid me now and the delay was I only have to pay you back to work was much later. It's not true, because actually right now is when his job starts. It's like he started working already now in the days of the threshing season. Now this is the Gemara's question on Rav and Shmuel, because this case is essentially the same as Rav and Shmuel's case of kur b'shleishim sa b'sela. How so? Because here, what did he rent him for? What are the words in the contract? He says, I'm going to pay you a dinner per day. He didn't say, oh, until the end of the threshing season, I'm going to hire you for 100 dinar. He didn't say it like what's called kurbish leishim. He said, it's like the case of kurbish leishim sabesela. I'm paying you per day, not just all 100 days in one price tag. And even so, the Braisa teaches us that that's permitted and he has to pay him. Now that's difficult to Rav and Shmuel that said that rishon kana, that when you say sabesela, each one is its own unit and you don't acquire the rest. Now that's the difficulty, since in that situation that they hold that you only acquired that unit, the sabesela, and not the rest. And therefore, that was the ramification Rav and Shmuel's halacha, where they can't back out anymore, and but the rest they could. There is that difference. So says the Gemara, V'isok etaitech. Now if you're going to entertain like Rav and Shmuel, that kur b'shloishim sabesela ani moichalach, when someone says that type of thing, I'll sell you a kur for 30, or every saw I'll sell you per sela. Then said Rav and Shmuel, that rishon kana, so each saw, as it's being measured out, it's already its own unit, and he has acquired that. So hachanami, so ask the Gemara here also, kama kama mifsik pasik. Each day that he's hiring him for a dinner, it gets cut off. It's its own unit. And therefore, v'asr lahanis mimenu, so then it's forbidden to go ahead and benefit from him. Ask the Gemara, medinu l'yoyim ul'garin yafes sela muter. So regarding the case of when he's paying him a dinner per day, and by the time of the garin, we said he's worth a sela, the Braisa said it's going to be permitted. Ask the Gemara, am I? Why is it permitted? But since, like you said, that he could back out, because every single day is considered its own distinct sale. So here also, agar notra lihu. So this should be considered a delay in the repayment regarding the work of the threshing season, because in Nisan, he's giving him all the 100 days payment for the whole season. And the problem is that only takes effect in the Yemei Sagarin. If you would say it's one long unit, so you could understand. He's already paying him now for that whole work. It's one thing. But since it's not, it's per day the way he said it, that is separating that. That's what we said, that they hold that as mifsik pasik. It considers them as separate units. If it's separate units, then how does that permit it with the problem of agar notli? It should be ribis on those days over there because he's paying him now and he's only getting repaid over then in the threshing season when the guy's going to actually do the work for him. So Amar Rava, Rava responds to the whole crux of the question. He says, what? But Tisbra, do you even think it's logical that this price, the way you're reading it, that this should be forbidden because of ribis of agar notrele? What? Zilzuzi beschiris mi'asa? You think it's prohibited to degrade an employee? In other words, says Rava, even if a regular case, if he already pays him now in Nisan, and the worker, the employee only does work months later in the threshing season, says Rava, biblically, that's not a problem, because you can't compare this, as the Gemara's assumption was, to like a loan, or even to like a sale, a transaction, where there you have the problems of Einah and Bitl Mekach, because over there, yes, what happens over there is that you're charging less than the value because the guy's paying up front. So it comes out that he's paying him back more than the monies that he received, and that's the problem about ribis. On that, says Rava, but regarding paying an employee for his work, that's not agar notali, because any type of worker who's desperate for work will do whatever it takes to get money to eat. And whatever money he'll get from the employer is profit. It's not like, oh, I'm loaning you money and you're paying me back with the work. It's not true. I'm just lowering your wage. I'm not getting back more because I gave you up front. And therefore it says Rava, the truth is, in this case of the sefer that you're asking from, there's no ribis whatsoever. What's the ribis? You're saying, oh, what do you mean? According to Rav and Shmuel, this should be a problem about ribis because it's not one unit. They say it becomes two units when you say sabesela, and each day is its own unit. So how is he paying him that when the work is getting paid back later, which is like a higher value for the money that he's getting up front? Says Rav, there's no ribis. It's employee-employer relationships, that how much he's charging him. He's just gonna pay him much less. And that's allowed. So now, based on that answer, the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then Maishna Reisha and Maishna Seifa. Then what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa if you're telling me that you could just, it's just degrading the worker and just paying him less? Then why is the Reisha forbidden to have benefit from that? Why did the Reisha say that, oh, if you're hiring him in Nisan and he's only going to do work later in the Yimei HaGoyrin, and then you're not starting to work now like the Seifa, but rather then, oh, that's forbidden. Why is that forbidden? Agar noter, there's no ribbis regarding worker. You're just paying him much less. Says the Gemara, you're right. Reisha is just a stringency. Why? Deloy ka'ovid b'hadei mahashtu. Because since he's not starting work right now, up until the threshing season, and but yet he's paying him money right now, up front, omerzi ka'agar notali. It's not because it's ribbis. There is no ribbis. It's not a loan. It's not a. There's no money that's being tendered over here. He's getting paid for the work, for his labor. That's all profit for him. It's not like what the employee is getting back more. He's not going to make anything. He's paying him. It's a one-way transaction. Now, it just gives the appearance of ribbis because we see someone giving money and we see him getting something back at a later point in time. But Sefer deka'ovid b'hadei mahashta, but regarding the Sefer, where he's starting to work right now, he's paying him per day, lo merzi ka'agar notali. So that doesn't give the appearance. You're right. If it was real ribbis, it would be problematic because halachically, it really is every day as an individual, but there's no halachic ribbis. There's nothing here. It just gives the appearance. But that only gives the appearance if the guy's getting paid now and only starting to work, his contract only starts later. But here, where it starts right away, so there's no appearance and therefore there's no problem, both from the halachic standpoint and both from the appearance. And therefore, again, there's no difficulty. We didn't refute the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel from the previous staff regarding that Korbish Leishma Sabasela is going to be considered individual units, both in regards to different ramifications, specifically what they spoke about, that so you can't back out anymore once each unit was given out, because although there's going to be more, but each one's individual, and that was already a done deal. Now, the Mishnah concluded by saying, which was talking about the different types of kinyanim, v'mhoyim achube b'karka, v'talash kol shuhu kana. If, let's say, the flax that was being sold was attached to the ground, and the lekeach went and ripped out some of it, so he's acquired all the flax that was being sold. That has the Gemara, Mishum the Tolish Kalshu, what? Because he rips out some of the flax that's in the field. Kana, he's acquired all the rest of the flax that's still attached to the ground, but why? How could he acquire those with the Mashiach of the other ones? What does the Mashiach on these items have to do with those that are still attached to the ground to have acquired it? So Madam Rav Sheshi says, Hacha Maiskin, what are you talking about in our Mishnah? Is the Amar Leis, where the seller tells the consumer specifically, says, Lech go, and Yefeloch Karka Kolshu. Want you to make the land better a little bit, just a little bit, and thereby make a chazaka in the karka, and that way, v'konei kol mashallah, and that way you'll acquire whatever's on the land itself, meaning to acquire the flax that's attached to the ground. Now the reason for this is because regarding karka, a person could acquire land with a chazaka. Now, moreover, whatever's attached to the ground halachically has the same status as karka itself. So that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that if you make a chazaka in the land by making some type of a clearing with the flax itself, that will help for the rest of the flax, because although he's not really selling him land, but that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that a chazaka, by plucking out some of the flax itself, he could acquire the rest of the flax that's still attached to the ground. In other words, for example, let's say if the seller tells the lekeach, I want you to pick up some of the flax, and then you'll be making the land better, because you're cleaning up the land that then it could be cleared to be able to plow. Where, similar as the Gemara says, Cheskes Abatim, the Pnadal Medalef, that Haiman de Zochi Zachaya, someone that goes and clears the ground with the intention of acquiring the land, he's acquired it because he cleared it for the purposes of making chazakah that it can be plowed now. So here too, the Mishnah is telling us, if he picks some of the flax a little bit and his intention is to clear the ground, to clean it, so that way he did a chazakah in the ground, and that's kind of not the ground itself, but what's attached to the ground, which has a halacha like the ground itself, which are the rest of the pishtun, and that's how he makes the kinyan. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme about what's the conclusion of the kinyanim of when someone's buying something, when is it considered a done deal that lekeach has acquired it. So says the Mishnah, Hamoichu yain v'shemen l'chaveiroi. If someone sells wine or oil to his friend, which Rashbam points out something would apply to all produce, the only reason why he picks wine and oil is because actually the Sefer is going to tell us parenthetically other halachas that will be related specifically to wine and oil, for example, which is this halacha when he's pouring it out, which is with these liquids that are viscous, that have this, they're a little sticky, that you have to keep on pouring, that three drips come out towards the end. So that's why it's picked specifically wine and oil in the Reisha, but it's regarding all types of produce. And v'hukru oisha huzlu, so let's say he's selling him wine and oil, or oil, and the price goes up or down after they already had set the price of how much they're paying per unit. So says the Mishnah, it depends. If the measurement has not yet been filled up, how much he's selling him. And as the Gemara will explain, that we're talking about that measuring cup is not owned by either one, the buyer or the seller. It's actually from a third party. And the Rashbam points out that actually our Mishnah is repeating what we already had mentioned in the Braisa previously, which the reason over there was explained, as we'll explain also, regarding why it's significant if the measuring cup is filled up or not. But on that says the Mishnah, as long as the cup has not been filled up yet, then lamaicher, then we consider that kli, that measuring cup, as if it's the seller's, and therefore again, the gain or the loss is going to be all the seller's. Now, but Mishnah smalas amida, but if the measuring cup is already filled up, then lelekech, then it's considered like the keli of the lekech, and then it's going to be the gain or the loss if the price went up or down to the lekech, which as Rabban points out. But if even if we're considering it the keli of lekech and that he's as if he acquired it, it must be told that it's in the simto or chatzar that's shared by both of them, which then the keli of lekech for sure could acquire it from. Continues the Mishnah. Now, if there was an intermediary, a middleman, what's called, between the seller and the buyer. And as Gemara explained, that actually that measuring cup is his. Now, the idea about a sarser is that he's usually, when he's a middleman, he buys from the homeowner who makes this stuff, and then he's the one who peddles it around and sells it to other people, and that's how he gains by being that middleman. So says the Mishnah, nishbar ha-chavis, so if the barrel breaks, nishbar la-sarser. So the loss, the break, is for the middleman, because since it's his kalim of the sarser, so his kalim acquired for him, as the Braisa taught us previously, enough pay hey, which this idea that it, whoever's cup it is, which is called v'mhaisa mida shal achas men, then rishon kana, whoever's cup, whoever's kli it's going into, acquires it. Now that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that we don't say that the middleman is only like an agent, a shliach, of the lekech, and then when it fills up, actually the loss of the lekech, no, the middleman's his own, although he's servicing the consumer, but he's considered his own person, and he acquires it for that time until it's actually given over to lekech, therefore the loss is his. Now the Mishnah continues and says, though, okay, after let's say that whoever it is that's selling it to the consumer had poured the oil or the wine into the kli of the lekeach, says the Mishnah, v'chayev lahatav le'sholish tipin. But he additionally has to keep on pouring and have it drop out three more drops from the oil or the wine that's stuck to the walls of the vessel that he's pouring from. Now continues the Mishnah, hirkina. If let's say, so he turned the what he's pouring from that kli on the side, after he had already dripped out the three drops that he had to do extra to make sure that what's being sold is really getting to the cup of the lekech, but umitzis. However, they still gathered this excess of the oil on the bottom of the kli that he's pouring from. And that says the Mishnah, Rav Shel Meicher. That belongs, that can be maintained by the seller. As the Gemara explained, because the lekech is miyayish, he's like, okay, you know what I'm saying? I know I'm not going to get everything. I know you're selling me this measurement, and you're pouring it out, and you finally finish, and three more drops, boom, 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 three drops, and but there's still a little bit stuck on the bottom. He's like, forget about it, you know what I'm saying? So therefore, halachically, since he's miyayish, it can be maintained by the seller. Now, continues the mission of Achenveni, and a storekeeper, you go into a supermarket, who he's very busy with his sales, and therefore says the Mishnah actually, he doesn't even have to do this procedure about waiting till it drops those three drops, because he doesn't have time, I'm busy, people are online, and therefore he doesn't even have to do that. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, and the Gemara will ask which part of this, of the Tanakam is Yehuda going on a regular homeowner or on the storekeeper, he says, Erev Shabbos Imcha Sheikha Pater. Says when it's Friday afternoon, before it's getting dark, everyone is busy, no one has time, then he's exempt, he doesn't have to do the three drops. Now the Gemara asks, going back to the Reisha of the Mishnah, Hamida, this that we spoke about in the, that we said, it depends if it's full or if it's not full, if it's Lekech, so the Meichers. So this measuring cup, that we're saying if it's full or not, to decide if it's the meichers or lekech, so who's gaining or losing if the price goes up or down, deman. Whose cup is it? If it's the measuring cup of the consumer. So what that, the Mishnah says, actually nesmalas mida, that if the measuring cup is not filled up, then lemeicher, then the gain or the loss is the seller's. But why? Midi lekechi. What do you mean? It's the measuring cup of the consumer, and his kalim should acquire from him, as we learned in the Braisa previously, that we said, if it's the measuring cup belongs to one of them, rishon kano, whatever, as it comes in, that person acquires it. So, moreover, here also, It must be talking about that, as we had mentioned previously on the daf, that there's markings in that cup as it goes, because our Mishnah says unspecified, which would sound like even if it's a measuring cup that has markings, which that's the case of when he tells them, I want to sell you a hin for 12 sloim and a lug per sela. So that means to say you would acquire each one as it comes, so therefore why, if it's not filled up yet, is it the meichers? So the elo, so what are you going to say? Mida de meicher. No, it's talking about the measuring cup of the seller. On that, the question is then the other way. Mishnah smalas mida, when then the Mishnah said that if the measuring cup is full, oh, then the lekeach. Then the gain or the loss is the consumer's. On that, the question is, but mida de meicher hi. But what do you mean? It's the measuring cup of the seller, so why is lekeach going to acquire? Because even if you're going to say that it's taking place in the domain of the lekeach, but that was a question we had previously in Daf Pei Hei, if the kli is considered its own domain, meaning in contrast to the domain, the larger area that it's in, and we didn't answer that question. And if that would be the case, we should resolve from our Mishnah that the kelim of the meicher, if it's in the rishus of the lekech does acquire it. And then the same thing we would have resolved that the other way around too, that the kelim lekech in the rishus of the meicher, that the meicher would acquire. Because you'll say that the larger area is the more dominant. But we don't answer it, and we left that question unresolved. So how are we going to explain the halacha of our Mishnah? Whose measuring cup is this that we're saying that, oh, it depends if it's full or if it's not full? That Amr below, he says, b'midas sarsur. What we're talking about is, it's actually the measuring cup of the middleman, who although he's not involved in this actual sale, but he lent his measuring cup to them because he actually paired them together. He was the shatchan for the sale, as we learned previously in the Bryson, as we explained, that really, what our Mishnah is doing is repeating what we had already taught in the Braisa of what we call this Braisa of Arba Midas and of Pehei. Really, that's the same concept we're saying over here when it's actually none of theirs. It's actually someone else's cup. And that, we said, that depends. He's lending it out for the seller as long as it's still measuring. And when it's full, then he's lending it to Lekech, and then it's considered the Kelim of Lekech. Now, however, the Gemara asks, what are you telling me? That the Reish is talking about that it's the measuring cup of the middleman? But ask the Gemara, v'hama d'itani seifa, but continue reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah then continues and says, v'im ho yisarsa b'neyem, but if there is a middleman between them, oh, then nishbra chavis nishbra l'sarsa. Then actually, if it breaks, it's actually not going to be the loss of the seller or the buyer. It's actually going to be the loss of the sarsa himself. On that, ask the Gemara, but machlal, one thing you could infer is, the reisha la b'sirsa askin. Obviously, the reisha, the case we just described, is not talking about the middleman. So I could say it's talking about a middleman if that's only introduced later on in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, that's not difficult. Reisha is midabalei sarsur. The Reisha is talking about that it's the measuring cup of the middleman, but he's not involved in the actual sale itself. He just lent them his measuring cup, but he's not there. Now, the chiddush that the Mishnah is teaching us is that they're not the agents of the middleman to make the sale as if it's his and he's just using them as pawns. So although it's his measuring cup, and he usually gains from that, that's the Reisha says, but still, he only lent them the measuring cup. He's not invested in the actual deal itself. So therefore, if it's full, it's the Lekech's gain or loss, and if it's not full, it's the Meicher's. He's not involved in the actual sale. But still, it's not the Kelei of the Meicher Lekech. Seifa is Bisarsur Atzmai. The Seifa is talking about when the middleman is in there, he's in that boardroom, and he's making the sale, and he's buying from the seller, and he's selling to the consumer, since he's there, and it's his measuring cup, so then that mekach, whatever's being sold, is in his domain, because he is the one who bought from the seller, and then selling to the buyer, and because of that, when it breaks, it's breaking for him, because his kelim have already acquired from, as we talked already before, when it's someone's individual kli, and he's involved in the sale, rishon kana, as the drops come in, he acquires it, and therefore it's going to be a loss to the sarsa. So although the rishon is also talking about a sarsa, but he's not involved, it's just his kli, therefore doesn't mention him. The same is mentioning him because he's involved in the actual sale, and that's why it's going to be his loss. Now the Mishnah told us that hirkina, if the seller has tilted his cup to, you know, try to get it out as much as possible to the buyer, umitzis, but then there's some stuff that is stuck of the oil or the wine at the bottom of his cup, of this barrel, harevishal meicher. So the Mishnah said he could keep it. Now, says the Gemara, Kiselik Reb Elazar, when Reb Elazar went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkech el Ziri, encountered Ziri, and Amalei said to him, Mikan Tana, is there anyone here in Eretz Yisrael that is a teacher of Mishnayis and Brises? The Asnei Rav Midas, that Rav taught him the text of Mishnayis and Brises on the halachic topic of Midas, of measurements, which Rav had taught. So, Achvei Rav Yitzchak Bravdimi, he pointed out to him this Rav Yitzchak Bravdimi. So Amalei, so Rabbi Avdimi said to Rabbi Lozer, "My kol kashelach, what's your question that you wanted to have someone that could teach you the Mishnayos and the Braises that Rav had taught?" So he says, because Tetnan, we learned in our Mishnah that says, Herkino Mitzis said, if you tilt it over, and there's some stuff that's stuck on the bottom of the barrel, Harei Rishol Meichan. The Mishnah says, so the Meichan could keep it. On that, his question was, as we continue in Talmud Beis, but we learned in the Mishnah Masechet, this Trumas that's talking about when someone's separating Truma, which the Halacha is, you have to give two measurements out of 100. That's really 1/50th, what's the generic measurement of Truma. So that says the Mishnah, that if Herkina, if the homeowner who had put all the truma into one measuring cup, he put it all there. So he's now tilting it because he wants to pour it into the Kayan's cup because he has to give him the truma. Umitza, and some of it's stuck on the bottom, says the Mishnah, Harezu truma, what's stuck on the bottom is truma, and he's got to scrape it out and give it to the Kayan. So my question is that our Mishnah, it should also belong to the Lekech. You see, even what's stuck on the bottom belongs to the one who it belongs to, that the one who has it and owes it to the other one, like we found by Truma, should belong to the Lekech. So why did our Mishnah say that the Mechir could keep it? So on that, Amalei, he responded, he says, Ha'it Ma'aloh, we learned regarding explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, that Amar Bevo, he says, Mishum Yish Ba'ilam Naguba. The reason why is because the Lekech, the consumer, he's mayayish. He's mafker. He said he's okay with that, what gets stuck in the bottom, because it's too much of an effort for him to wait till the guy goes, go guys, get me the scraper and scrape it out. It's just not worth it for him. So that's why it belongs to the meicher, because every lekeach is meichel that. But regarding truma, it's not appropriate to say anything of yiyush, because forget about monetary law, there's prohibitory law. It's truma. Truma is forbidden for zarim, so of course he's got to scrape it out and give it to the kohen. Maybe monetarily the kohen would say, it's okay, go, I don't need you to scrape it out. Same thing like we say in the Mishnah Lekech, but regarding isurim of truma, that you can't be meyayish. It is truma. A yiyush of a kohen does not make it non-truma, and that's why it's different over there and you got to scrape it out. Now the Mishnah said, V'achen v'ni, now regarding a storekeeper, the Tanna Kamma says, Inachayv lahatav. Now he doesn't have to drip out those three drops. He's too busy for this. V'chulu, etc. Because Rabbi Huda, he said at the end of the Mishnah, he said, Erev Shabbos, before it's getting dark, you don't got to do the dropping out of the drops. Now, Ibailud, the following question. Rabbi Huda, when he was saying in this halacha, Areshakoi, was he going on the first halacha of the Tanna Kamma? Tanna Kamma said that a regular person's got to, after it's all come out, pours out, stop. You gotta wait for three drops to come out. And that's in every case. And on that, Rabbi Huda was coming to say, but if it's Erev Shabbos, people are running, the sirens are going, that then you don't have to, and therefore, Ula Kula, he was going lenient, more lenient than Tanna Kamma. Even a regular person who generally has to do, but Erev Shabbos, when it's getting dark, doesn't have to. Or Dilma Seifakoi. Or maybe he was going the second halacha of the Tanna Kamma. Tanna Kamma said that a storekeeper, I'm too busy for this. I can't wait for three drops to come out, and therefore he's exempt. That Rabbi Huda is coming to say, no. He's not exempt. Erev Shabbos, before it's getting dark, the storekeeper's got to go, people are waiting in line. Then he doesn't have to, ulo chumra. And Rabbi Huda is more stringent, where he's saying, no, even the storekeeper has to, it's just Erev Shabbos, when it's getting dark, then he doesn't have to. So the Gemara says, Tashema, come in here, will prove conclusively that he was going on the Seifa, where he's actually more stringent. The time like we learned the Brayis, Rabbi Huda, he says, Erev Shabbos imchashecha, Friday afternoon as it's getting dark, chen v'ni pater, the storekeeper is exempt, b'mnesha chen v'ni tar, the storekeeper is very, very busy on Erev Shabbos, people are cramming and trying to get the last second Shabbos needs, it's then that he's exempt, but a regular store day, on a weekday, then he's got to go ahead and do the three drops, according to Behuda, just like any single person that's making a sale. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding kinyanim, regarding acquisitions, and specifically like we mentioned at the end of the previous Mishnah regarding a chenveni, regarding a storekeeper. Says the Mishnah, Hashaleach es benoi etzel chenveni. Someone sends his son to a storekeeper, go to the makolet, go buy something. Upunyin biyadoi, and the kid comes with a punyin, which is a coin worth 2 isarin. A isar is a coin, he has a punyin coin. And he was sent by his father to go ahead and buy with 1 isser of that oil, and that he should get, odef, he should get change, an isser from the storekeeper. And that's what the kid did. Umadud lay bi isser shemen, so the storekeeper pours out for him an isser worth of oil, but nosan lay is an isser, and he gives him change, an isser, to bring back to his father both the change of the isser and the oil. But kids being kids, on his way home, shavar, the kid breaks, esat sluchis, he breaks that jug, and therefore all the oil spills out, and even the change he got, he lost that too. He was playing games, so he lost that money that the chenbini gave him with the oil from the value of the punyan that he came to buy from him. So on that says the Tanakama, chenbini chayev. So the storekeeper is liable to pay and compensate that father for the jug, the oil, and the change, as the Gemara will explain the reason for this. Now, Rabbi Yehuda exempts the storekeeper, Shamanas Ken Sholchai, because it was with that intention that the father sent his son to the storekeeper, that the storekeeper should give the son the change and the oil. So, I'm liable, you sent your kid here to go get it. He, on his way home, he was negligent, and he broke it, and he lost it. That's not my responsibility. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's exempt. Now, says the Mishnah, Moedim Chacham, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Yehuda regarding the exemption of the storekeeper, Bezman Shat Sloiches Beyar HaTinek. When the jug was always in the hand of the child, and the storekeeper just poured oil into that jug, that in that situation, the storekeeper is exempt just on the jug. I mean, in regards to the oil and the change, he'll be chayv. But regarding the jug, in that situation, the Chum would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that the storekeeper would be exempt regarding the jug. Now, the Gemara asks, in explaining this halacha of our Mishnah, that bishleima be'isser b'shamen. We could very well understand, regarding the change, the iser coin, that the chenmini gave back to the child, and regarding the oil that he poured into the jug to give to this kid's father, we could understand that b'ha pligi, what is the machlokes in our Mishnah? The Rabbanan sabri, the Rabbanan hold, lo'idoi, that the father, his intention, was to notify the storekeeper that he needs oil. That's why he shadre, that's why the father sent his son. So, you hear, you see, yeah, my son, my little boy is going to come and tell you what I need. And so that the storekeeper should send him what he has to send him through a mature adult, an agent to send it. Not when my kid, you send my kid and he breaks it, that's your negligence. You didn't get to me, then the chemini is going to have to pay. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, whereas Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and he held, no, lishdure lay. It was so that he should send it with his son, that's why shadri, that's why he sent his son. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda held that the storekeeper is going to be exempt because that's what you wanted. You asked me to send it with your son. So that's the machlik, is what was the father's intention? Was it just to notify? Or was it no, that he should send it? Ella, however, asked the Gemara, Shavur Tzleiches, regarding the breaking of the jug. The question is, why is, according to Rabbanan, the storekeeper liable to pay for the jug? Avei demidasi. But that is what's called in halacha, a deliberate intentional loss on the part of the father. Which, when there's an aved midas, as we find in the halachas of Metziah, then there's no liability of compensation to the person. Meaning, when the father gave his kid this glass jug, here, go to the store and get oil poured into this jug, the kid doesn't know how to watch a glass jug. And therefore, he's like being mafkir it. And he's not concerned if his son's going to come back with empty hands, because he knows it's going to break. Rather, he's sending this kid to the storekeeper that what it's regarding that the storekeeper is giving him, whether it's the oil or the change, that's what he expects from the storekeeper to send with an intelligent adult. But regarding the jug, that the father is sending with the kid already now. And he knows the kid might break it, so that is no liability when it's aved midas. So why are we holding the storekeeper liable even for the jug? Now, Rashbam addresses, he says, although one could say then the same thing is regarding to the money, because when he sent his son, he sent him with a punyan too, although that should also be, you don't expect your kid to be responsible. You're okay if something happens to that, and therefore no one should have to compensate you for the money itself. However, says Rashbam, but on the way back, we could make, according to the Chachamim, the storekeeper liable, because since we say, but I only sent you, I didn't send you to send my son to send it back with him. Yes, on the way there, okay, that's aved midas. But the way back, that is your negligence because you should have taken the money and not given him the change. You should have given it to a mature adult. So it's a trip back, at least, that we could hold him liable. But the Gemara's question is on the tzleiches, where the kid had on the way there and the way back, the father was obviously not caring about what happened to it. So why are we holding the storekeeper liable for the jug? So that in Rav Hoshea, he answers as follows. He says, Hacha b'bala bayis. Here, the father who sent his son is a homeowner. That meichud tzleichis askinan. He's actually somebody who sells jugs for a living. Now, therefore, he actually preferred that the storekeeper, if he wants to buy it, he wanted actually that the storekeeper should actually buy the jug off of him. Now, moreover, says the Gemara, the case is talking about where the storekeeper took the jug from the child, amanas lavakar, to check it out. Meaning the guy needs oil and he wants to change back, but as he's sending his son, he says, here, I make jugs anyway. When you're going to get oil for me, here, take along a jug, show it to him. He might actually want to buy one, which is an easy sale for me. So the storekeeper goes and he checks it out to see if it's whole, and he's checking it out because if he's intending to go out and buy it. Now, and therefore, this is Ukedi Shmuel. This is like the halacha of Shmuel, which is what the Gemara is saying, is the machlekes Rabban Reb Yehuda in our Mishnah. Where, when the moment that that storekeeper, who in this case he's a consumer of the father of the child regarding the jug, the moment he takes it to look at it, he's actually acquired it already. The reason for that is because we assume that he'll find it complete and whole, and his intention is to acquire it. Now, as Igmo will explain, because we're talking about where the price is already set, he knows already how much it is, where the moment that he wants to acquire it and do a kinyan, he already acquired it. So therefore, the problem begins is when he then gives it back to the child, where he decides, nah, I'm not going to buy it. That is like creating a loss that it's what's called venenus biyada, meaning it's considered that the einus, it happened in the hand of the storekeeper. And therefore, he's not exempt until he actually gives it back to the owner himself, because from the moment he takes it, he becomes liable for responsibility for whatever happens to it. As the Gemara says, that this is Shmuel's halacha. Damar Shmuel says, if someone goes into the store, and takes a vessel from a craftsman, amanas lavakre, with the intention of checking it out, and then if he likes it to keep it, venenis biyadei. And then when he's checking it out, anoinus happens, and it just suddenly drops, and it breaks. Says Shmuel Chayiv, he's liable. Why? Because as Gemara will explain, it's told by where there's a set price already. So therefore, his intention when he was picking it up was to acquire it because there's already a set price. Now, even if he ends up changing his mind, he says, no, I don't want to buy this vessel. And something happens in Oinus before he gets a chance to return it to the owner, he's already chayiv, because the moment he picks it up, Shmuel says, with the intention of checking it out to buy it, at that moment on, it's like it's his and he's responsible for anything that happens to it. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying. Once he's responsible for the liability, so how could we exempt him until he actually returns it to the owner? So in this case, the Rabbanon are saying, regarding to the Tzleiches, that the Chemin is going to be chayiv like Shmuel's Halacha, because since he checked it out, I'm not going to. And he's on his way going back to the father, where it didn't get back to him because the child is not yet the father. He's going to be chayiv. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda does not hold like the halacha of Shmuel, and therefore he says that he's going to be potter, because even if you picked it up to check it out, that doesn't mean that you acquired it to be chayiv. Now, moreover, this also would explain the sefer of the Mishnah, which said, "Oh, but the Chama greets Rabbi Yehuda that the chemini will be exempt on the jug if it was always in the hand of the child." That's what the Mishnah is saying, that the Chama greets Rabbi Yehuda if he took it with the intention of not checking it out. Rather, his intention was just to go ahead and pour inside to give to the child to take home to his father, that's like as if the jug was already in his hand. In other words, that's how Rashbam is explaining. It doesn't have to actually mean that it was always in his hand, even if the chemini took it. But it was just so he could pour in and get it in, then that's like as if it never left the hand of the child, and that's why the Chum would agree in that case it'd be potter. But the other case is because of Shmuel's halacha. Now, but then the Gemara asks, on Rav Hirsch's interpretation, but then Leman de Shmuel Tanoi, it's going to come out that this statement of Shmuel, the Amayr, is contingent on Machlekes Tanoim, because Rabbi Yehuda does not like him. So Ela Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, Damit Tavai, they give a different interpretation. They say, Hacha b'chen v'ni meichud tzleiches haskinan. Actually, what we're talking about over here is the other way around. That we're talking about not that the homeowner was someone who sells jugs, the storekeeper, besides selling oil and other items, he actually sells jugs too. So actually the jug that is talking about in our Mishnah is actually the jug was actually owned by the storekeeper, who he's sending to the homeowner the value, he's sending back the money with the child. In other words, the father sent money with the child to go ahead and not only buy oil, but he didn't have any jug, he was actually buying the oil with the jug to bring the oil back with it. Oh, so therefore he's addressing the concern that the Gemara asks, why the Rabban hold Yechayev on the jug? It's Aveid Midas, no Aveid Midas. Aveid Midas with what? The father never sent a kid with a jug. When I'm paying you, just like I hold that you're responsible for other items, I hold you responsible, whatever you send me, which is including not just the oil and the chain, but the jug, And therefore, says the Gemara, what they're saying is, Va'azdu Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, v'rabbon l'tamei. So that would make sense, their whole machloik is, not just regarding what they disagree regarding the oil and the change, but the same thing is regarding now the jug. With Rabbanu go according to their opinion, that they say, just like by the change and by the oil, that the chenmin is going to be chayiv, because when I sent my kid, I didn't send you to send a bag with him. He was just to notify what I need, and you'll send it with your guys. Same thing applies with the jug, because that's all coming from the chenmin, who was selling the jug too. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is going to his opinion that he holds that, no, he sent his kid to be able to send him the wine and the oil, and therefore the same thing applies with the jug to be sent with him, and therefore the chenmin is exempt. Now the Gemara asks on their interpretation. But he achim a seifa. But then according to their interpretation, how do we understand the seifa? The seifa, the Mishnah says, the moedim chacham Rabbi Yehuda, but the chacham agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that the chenmin will be exempt on the jug, bizman shatzleiches biyad atinik. If the jug was in the hand of the child, and the storekeeper just poured inside of it, shechen v'nipata. And then the storekeeper is exempt. But on that, asked the Gemara, but va'amrit lo aidoi shadre. But you said, and especially since you're explaining the cases, that the storekeeper is the one who is providing the jug. He's selling the jug. So when the father sent his child to get the oil and his change back and the jug, it was just to notify the storekeeper that he wants a jug, but not that he should send the jug in the hand of his child. So therefore, just like they hold that he's chayiv on the oil and on the change, so too, even if the child was always holding the jug, what does that do anything? How does that help? It's the chenmini who's sending it, and therefore he should be liable on the jug too. So Ella, Abaye bar Oven, Reb Chanina bar Oven, they both say that actually, no. Not like the previous two answers in the Gemara. It's not talking about that the storekeeper sells jugs. And neither is it talking about that the father, the homeowner, that he sells jugs. Rather, Hachamai Iskinu, what we're talking about over here, is that we're talking about specifically a jug that's designated for measuring purposes. Now, therefore what? So it continues the Gemara on the top of Pechasim and Aleph. It's talking about Kegoin Shenetala, that, yes, the father provided the jug with his child. Now, the storekeeper went and took it from the hand of the child, Lamudba, to measure out the oil for the purposes of giving it to the child. Now, although we said, but if the father provided a jug, that should be aved midas, and therefore the chemini should be exempt. But the thing is that once the storekeeper took the measuring jug from the child, at that moment, he became liable for the protection of that jug until he gives it back to the hand of the homeowner. Why is that? Because as we continue on top of Rechasim and Aleph, where even though that when the father sent the jug with the child was not with the intention that the chenmini should be taking it, because maybe he's not going to take it. Maybe, like we said in the Seif of the Mishnah, he's just going to pour it into the jug of the child. However, but that's what the halacha of the Gemara is saying is, but the moment that the storekeeper does take it, he then becomes liable until it gets back to the hand of the father. Why is that? Okay, the rabbi, like rabbi's halacha, rabbi said, hikisha, if an elderly person finds a lost object, which there is a halacha that's brought in by Metzi Daf Lamanam Beis, that since he's an elderly person, it's not according to his dignity to have to return this item. He's exempt, he doesn't have to. It's for his halamta, you could turn the blind eye. But if, let's say, he hits that item with a stick, so although he doesn't have to return it, but he hits it so it should go to where the owner is, the moment he hits it, says Rabbah, Nischayev Ba, he really became liable to now return it all the way to the owner. So what you see from that halacha is that it becomes a responsibility the moment that you do something, even though you didn't have to, until it gets back to the hand of the rightful owner. So, therefore, now we could also explain that, first of all, the machloik is between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the case of the jug, where we find that Rabbanan hold that you can be chayiv, because the moment that he takes it, he becomes chayiv. Moreover, Rashbam says, we also could explain what's the case of Moiz Mecham Rabbi Yehuda, is when he doesn't take it, literally like the words in the Mishnah are. If he didn't take it, so he didn't do this like Hikisha Bemakal, he didn't start anything regarding the Shemira, therefore he's not going to be chayiv. But the Gemara asked in this interpretation too, which, as Rashbam points out, the Gemara could have asked a simple question, as it asked in one of the previous interpretations, that it would come out, and then the halacha of the Tzamoyer Rabbah would be Tolei Machlekes Tanoim. Because it would come out that the Rabban are like him, but Rabbi Yehuda is not like him. But the Gemara asks a better question. Because Eimadam, a Rabbah, where do we find Rabbah's halacha, that the moment that you start with the protection of someone's item, then you become totally liable, and therefore the Gemara is saying that the same thing should apply over here, that the moment he picks up the jug to measure it for the kid, then you became liable. that Rabbi's halacha was said by bali chayim, by living things, by an animal. When you hit it, oh, then you become a chayiv. Now, the reason for that is because on kintinu nigra biryasa, you could explain that halacha because he already made it start moving in a certain direction. So since he made it start going, it could go in a totally different direction, and therefore he just caused something to take effect, and therefore now you're responsible because now it could maybe even get more lost. So that's why you gotta get it back to the original owner. But kiya gavna mi amar, who said Rabbi says halacha in such a case of like a tzleiches of a jug, where by picking it up, he didn't do anything, he put it right back in the hands of the child, it's exactly back to status quo. By an animal, you can't necessarily say that. So who said that Rabbi would hold that we could use that as an explanation of the halacha of the Rabbanan, that that's why he becomes liable now in the tzleiches until it gets back to the hand of the father? So Elamar Rava, rather Rava gives a fourth interpretation. He says, "Ani va'arisha bechabura tergiminua." Me and the lion of the chevra of the gathering of the yeshiva students, we interpreted what's the appropriate interpretation. Umanan, who's that? Who's the other one? My colleague. It's Reb Zera. Hachamayitzkin. What are we talking about in the halacha of the Rabban of the Mishnah regarding the jug that tzleiches? Is kigunshin notlet talking about, for example, if the storekeeper took it from the hand of the child, lamad ba la'acherim. He took this jug, which is a measuring cup, but not that he measured it for the child, he used it and measured it for other people. Oh, this child is there. Oh, what does this child know? Great, this is good. I can use this for the next few hours while the child is here and walk around the store. And he used it to measure it for other people. Oh, b'shal shaloi midas kamiflagi. The Machlekes Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding when this storekeeper is borrowing this item without the awareness and consent of the owner of the jug, which is this kid's father. What's the Machlekes? Mar Savar, Rabbi Yehuda held that Shoyel Haba. You have the halacha, although it's without the owner's intention, but all you are is you're a borrower. And therefore, when you return it to the place where you borrowed it from, which is the hand of the child, it's enough. So therefore, when you give it back to the child, you're going to be exempt. So therefore, if something happens with the child on the way back, that's not the storekeeper's liability. That's the child and his father. Now, this that the Gemara says, like in Perikah Mafkid, well, this that Rava said, Shalom Shleimidas Gazan Hava, so that's Rashbam points out, that's going according to the Rabbanan that we have over here. But Umar Sabad Rabbanan held that no, if you borrow without the owner's consent, Gazan Hava, you actually have the halacha as a thief, because it's like stealing. And therefore, what it turns out is that the chenveni has required it to become liable in it until it gets back to the father, to the owner of the object. Why is that? Because since he's considered like a gazlan, then you have to fulfill what the pasuk says, v'heishav es egzela, that you have to return the theft. Giving it back to the child is not considered hashav es egzela, just like the Gemara says in Baba Kama on the Kofi Yud Chesem and Aleph, where if someone steals a sheep from the flock, and he puts it right back, and then the animal dies or gets stolen, the one who stole it and put it back is liable for the responsibility. Why? Because you have to make sure it gets back to him with his awareness. And that's not considered, like in our case, das bailam, when you give it back to the child, because the father is not aware of what happened to it yet. Now, so too, the halacha, the sefer, the Mishnah, that says that there's a case that the Chama agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, the way you would explain it according to this last interpretation of Rava, is that the Chama agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, where he did not take it to go ahead and measure for other people, even if he measured it for the child. That's what the Mishnah means when it says, "Bizman shatzleiches bi'aratinik," when the jug was in the hand of the child, meaning that he only, even if he took it, but he only measured it for the purpose of the child, and therefore he never really removed it from the domain of the owner. He never was shayelit shalem edas. That's only if he used it for other people, and therefore the Chum would agree that in that case, then the chemini would be exempt from the tzleiches.